You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Teen Mom. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Teen Mom news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Teen Mom!
Hooray!
Woo!
We're back. It's Ed, and nobody, and nobody again. Oh, and
Star's
there's...
Star's on the line.
And, oh, wait, hold on. I'm talking about in studio, Star. You have to follow my lead, girl.
Okay. That's right.
Now... I said, as I was saying, nobody. There's another nobody in the booth. Fill in. Y'all don't have to pay attention to anything he says. He was just, in a second ago, he was just ranting about people not using their own names for Twitter handles. And believe me, he is hot about it. But we also thank you, Star, for joining us via telephone. You are there, correct?
Always.
Okay, very good, very good. I'm glad you're there because we have two shows to talk about. And man, did some stuff go down. Okay.
Yeah.
But first, I want to give kudos to Phil because we don't really have a green room here, but we have a bathroom that's off the side of the studio right here. And so I've been coming to AfterBuzz for a while. And I want to say that like about 6 months ago, they had towel issues. The towels were mildewed really, really bad. And I didn't say anything.
Our systems detect that a host has wandered off the subject. Please return at once.
I'm trying to say something positive. This is my intro. I want to say that the towel, I went in the bathroom, I washed my hands, I dried my hands. Towel smelled really good, Phil. I just want you to appreciate good smelling towels. Okay?
AfterBuzz.
Yes. Okay. I know that was completely off topic, but it was actually such a good experience I had to share. And, you know. If you don't have nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all.
That's right.
You know what? They made that possible? Fans like you. Not because you donate money, but because, you know, your support, we want to do more. And because you guys listen to everything that Ed has to say and spread the word and make Teen Mom actually number 9 on our top 10
number
iTunes
nine.
List.
Number 9.
Out of over 100 shows, which that is pretty impressive. We decided to get Ed some clean towels. So
nice.
If you continue spreading the word... We might get Ed some new stuff.
You know what? I appreciate that. But I'm wondering, does it really have anything to do with me? Because if you think about it, we have an empty studio except for me. But last week or previous weeks, then we have people. So it's almost like, and sometimes when I miss, right? So it's almost like if I miss, then people come in. And then when I'm here, people don't. So maybe the people that made us number 9 are actually here to listen to other people, not me. I don't know. I don't want to take credit where credit is not due. I mean, Star.
It's a combination.
Maybe it's about Star. She's faithful. You've been calling in, right, Star?
I call in.
See? Star is doing it. I think it's the Star Session show.
That's right. I got my fans.
And now, we might have to change the time so Star could come in and she could experience.
I know.
Yeah, you need to be able to use the good smelling towels because they might be for you.
You know what, Ed? I can't believe that Janelle let, Yeah, never mind. I'm sorry. I'm trying to read a tweet to get you back on subject about the show.
Oh, I'm going to need your help because I've got a couple of items of news and gossip, okay? One that I'm pretty well covered on, but the one about Janelle, I'll just spoil it. She got arrested yesterday. Find out. I need the details because all I know is it was about harassing phone calls and some threats and stuff, but I don't know who she was harassing or threatening.
All right, I'm on it.
Thank you very much.
Filling it for Mari Fagel, who is apparently sick.
Yeah, she's has the flu, and I think it's cold where she is, right? So it kind of makes sense. Anyway, Star, here we go. I want to talk about, Let me see. What's the order? Let's do. Should we do the most exciting to the most boring, or the boring first?
Let's get boring out of the way. Let's talk about the most boring person ever, which we know
is you. You going to say Chelsea or Caitlin?
Chelsea.
Okay, Chelsea's the most boring. You know what? That's yeah, yeah. I'm kind of feeling you on that one,
especially for this episode.
I mean, this girl, the only person who's more of a wreck than Chelsea is Janelle, obviously, when we talk about her in a minute. But as far as, you know, how she over this dude. But here's a guy who I don't understand, and maybe you can help me out, Star. What in the world keeps her going after this dude? If he's in her life, he pushes everybody else out. Her friend don't come over. Her dad will be at her house. And the baby daddy is coming. Here comes Adam. Dad says, I got to leave. I mean, what is it?
I mean, it's just Chelsea. Okay, Chelsea, she thrives on wanting to have a family that's together. Her parents split up when she was younger. And I just feel like, you know, she just wants his love. She wants his family. And it's kind of hard because, you know, Adam is young. Yes, he has a full-time job, and he's, you know, doing things to help out a little bit more. But, you know, he's not one to be like a family man just yet. He's so young. I can see him, you know, just wanting to live life. She is really, really ready for the family.
Yeah.
And in this episode, you know, she gets her hair done, and she's like, Adam doesn't like it. And then Adam's like, oh, I like, you know, your hair's blonde. It's whatever. He doesn't really care that much is what I kind of see from it.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm feeling from him is that I'm feeling from him that he does not – he's not really interested in Chelsea.
Ed, is your mic staticky?
I did. Yeah, I'm hearing some popping right now. Huh. Do we have a way to adjust or fix?
Yeah, yeah. Star, why don't you keep talking, and we'll fix that as mic.
Okay, so Star – oh, are we already fixed? I think we're fixed. Okay.
There you go. What'd you do?
So that – I don't know. That was my feeling was that Adam, really, he's acting like a guy who just doesn't even want to be there. He doesn't want to be around her. He doesn't want to do anything for her. He's not interested in her at all anymore, if he ever was. He just isn't. And and she spends her time wondering where he is, why he's not with her, wishing that he could be more, you know, dependent on, right? And I don't know if you noticed this, but when he finally came into the picture in the episode and she had gotten her hair done, right? And she's like, well, what do you think of my hair? She pats the bed to want him to come sit on the bed. She seems very excited to see him. But what does she do? She sits there and she actually, like, she complains about the type of boyfriend and father that he is. Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean, because they started – is that when they were starting to talk about how her friend Megan
– yeah.
Becomes pregnant, and then he just makes some snide remark and kind of laughs about it and, like, who's the guy?
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, oh, it's her boyfriend, you know?
Yeah.
But it just kind of seems like, you know, he thinks that all teen dads are supposed to be the same and they're supposed to run away. And I did not like his comment because when it comes down to it, you know, you should step up, you know, step up and be a dad. And I just didn't like that. He kind of joked around with it and was kind of like, oh, he'll probably do the same thing as me, as if it was okay. I was like, oh, no, he didn't.
Exactly, exactly.
Adam's a hot mess.
No, and I didn't like what he had to say either, but I was a little disappointed in Chelsea, and I think maybe it's been going on the whole time, and I didn't really notice it until this exchange between them, is that here she is wanting him to be around all the time, but then when he comes into the room, she says, you know, about the whole Megan situation, she said, well, at least she has a good boyfriend. And then she kind of, you know, looks at him sideways as if she's saying, and so what I'm really saying is that you're not a good one. That's number one. And then she says later something like, well, at least he's there for her, helping her or something like that. And then, you know, she kind of grits her teeth and braces for him to react, which he doesn't react because he's kind of in that, like you said, like, he doesn't care either way mode. But my disappointment with her was that, okay, look, girl, if you are trying to keep this dude around, you got to – I mean, and really she shouldn't be, obviously. The guy doesn't want to be there. But if you want to, it's not going to help your case by telling him – as soon as he comes in the house, telling him you're a bad boyfriend and you're a bad help to me and you're no good.
I mean, it's the same that girls do. They do snide comments. They do little remarks just to do little chats. I'm not saying it's okay. But, I mean, it is the truth. And,
it
you
is.
Know, but, I mean, he is there enough to help take care as much as he can. But, I mean, I'm just hopefully, I hope that he does not, well, we'll get to that in a little bit. But I'm glad she's moving and she's kind of getting out of that place where it's like bad negative energy. And she's moving on to a new apartment, which Daddy is definitely paying for.
And you're saying that you're talking about that place because that's where they had all their knockdown, dragouts.
Their fights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. Okay, well, so yes, then maybe it's a good thing that happened. We've got some technical difficulties here. Oh my God, Phil!
Right.
Hold on, Star. Phil-in's coming. Phil-in is coming out of the booth.
What did you do?
He's here. Don't hurt me.
What did you do?
I don't know.
There we go. This may
well, I'll just go on to say that.
I'm
glad that she. Are we ready?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're ready.
I'm glad she's. So she basically is just in this episode. She's also moving on and out of the house that she's currently renting, the owners are selling.
Correct.
So that happens on a little later on in the show.
Correct.
But Dad makes it very clear that he wants to keep it under $700. He does not want a roommate living with her.
Wait. She can have somebody live with her. It just can't be Adam.
It just cannot be Adam.
Right.
But Chelsea makes a good point. She brings Adam around, which brings drama with other roommates. So it's best that she doesn't have a roommate either.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the place that she gets, and I like that Dad kind of gives her a limit. But is your dad paying for everything and you still haven't gotten your GED or even a part-time job? I was so disturbed.
Yeah, she's got a lot to do, and spending time trying to make it work with Adam, I think, is just a waste of her time. She just needs to forget about him and move on. I wasn't comfortable, though. Like, yeah, it's great that Dad helps. It's unbelievably awesome that Dad is saying, look, I'm going to pay your rent. You know, I'm going to pay for everything is what he's doing. But at the same time, it's like I'm always not comfortable with the whole thing, like a parent thinking that, well, if I'm paying for your rent, then I get to decide who you're going to date, or I get to decide, you know what? That's not what that money gives you. You know, you can wish and hope and advise and try to get your daughter or son to do what you know is in their best interest, and you know from experience as the parent, et cetera. But I'm just not comfortable with him. It's technically like extortion, right? You're saying, okay, you need this, but you can only have this if I have this. And to me,
parenting is a little backwards, because she is now 18.
Yeah.
She should be getting a little weaned off of Daddy's credit cards and money.
Right.
It should be an ultimatum, you know, when it comes down to it. If you have 3 months to finish your GED, or you're going to have to move out and move back in with me or mom, because I'm not going to be paying extra money for you to just be living the life and getting your hair done all the time.
Right.
It really needs to come down to, there needs to be some ultimatums coming up, and it needs to not be about Adam. It needs to be about helping her get her life together so she'll realize that there's other guys out there in the world. Because if she's in school or getting a GED or in hair classes, she's going to meet different people, and it's
yes.
going to be the right people who she needs to meet.
Yes, yes. Do we know why she isn't just staying with mom or dad? Is there a reason that was told?
I think she just likes her own responsibility. I'm not really sure there.
Oh, my God.
But
that must be nice.
She's got it. Yeah, it must be nice.
Right? So, an interesting point I noticed also was she goes and she finds, one apartment or whatever it is, townhome, on the internet that she – the only one she likes. She calls on that one, gets an appointment, goes in. And something that doesn't ever happen in California – happened there.
Exactly. They
walk in, they say, oh, I like it, I'll take it, and then they sign a lease and the dude says, here's the keys, you can move in today. Like, yo,
I know.
you're gonna check their credit, you're gonna just believe in them word of mouth, like, yeah, I got a job, I make enough money, I'll pay.
Yeah.
Right.
I honestly think it is an MTV show, and they had to produce it a little bit, but they kind of messed up on maybe the continuity there.
Yeah.
Because where is the credit check? Where is the 24 hours? We'll get back to you. We'll get the keys to you tomorrow. Kind of a situation. It was very, very alarming, I have to say. I was definitely cracking up, and I wanted to make that point too.
Okay, good. I'm glad you noticed it, because they kept flashing to the leasing agent there, and he had this weird, crooked smile on his face, while they were talking back and forth. And when she said, "Can I move in tomorrow?" I'm thinking, "No, girl, you can't move in the next day. That's too soon." He said, "Here's the keys. You can move in today if you want to." I thought, okay,
I love it.
Yeah, they must just either they're desperate to, you know, fill the vacancies, or that's just the way it is in these other states, I guess.
Yeah, no, I doubt it. I think MTV was produced it a little bit ahead of time and kind of got her the apartment if she was going to like it. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the other, I think, sort of the main thing that happened after that was then there's moving day, and she calls Adam. And she really calls him, I think, with unfair expectations. Not unfair to Adam, but unfair to, almost to herself. Because what are you really thinking that this guy's going to do that he hasn't – he's already, you know, he's already shown you a pattern. For 3 years, he doesn't really care about your requests. Any little thing he'll allow to get in the way. So she said, "Can you help me move on a Saturday?" He said, "I don't know. I might have to work, or I have to work. I can't promise anything." And she's just – you know, shockingly to me, she's like surprised that he had that, you know, and she's like, "Come on, I need your help." So,
well, it's not like she had the best notice when it came down to it. If she did move the next day and she's saying, "Hey, can you get up out of bed after you worked a 40-hour week and things like that?" I mean, it was kind of a lot to ask of her, ask of him to just get up and do it. But it is baby daddy.
It is baby daddy. Yes, thank you.
It is supposed to be her sort of boyfriend. He needed to come to the house with a better attitude. It was kind of strange that Dad up and left and didn't, like, even, like, maybe then work together into moving the heavy stuff into the house.
Yeah.
He just up and left.
Yeah,
you
he
know?
Said...
I didn't like that. Dad needs to get over it and be a man.
Yeah, that's the thing. This whole situation with the dad and Adam, it's really extreme. I mean, for him to be, you know, here he is. He sees his daughter. The baby's with the grandma. And so it's just the dad and the daughter moving, and all of a sudden Adam shows up, and I guess, you know, she believes, Chelsea believes that Adam is there to help her move because that's what she asked him to do, and that hopefully he's bringing friends. So it's okay if Dad goes, "I'm not going to be left alone." Well, there you go. Here comes Adam, who's Superman of leaving her alone, comes in. I mean, like, I've been tired before. I've had to stay up all night for work before, but if, you know, if my baby mama or the girlfriend, especially if it's my girlfriend at the time, yo, I just push through it. You just got to help. I mean, she's got to move. What are you going to do, make her move herself? That's what he did. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. He didn't step up. It was kind of, I didn't think he was going to up and leave, but as the time went on and she was kind of like just seeing that he wasn't going to be much of help to her, so she was like, "Just leave then. Like, you know, thanks, but no thanks." I'm sure she called Dad after that. They didn't show on that. I'm sure Dad turned around and came back to help her because Dad's an enabler and he continues to help her.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense that she would get some help at least and call her dad and that he would do it. I mean, I don't know how far away everything is from how far away they are from each other, but yeah. And that was the scene where I really felt, I looked at Adam and I thought, you know what? I see what the problem is. This dude doesn't even like this girl. He does not. He's not interested in being near her, in her life. He really isn't. But he's not a total, like, worthless, you know, person that will just abandon everything. I think, you know, some instincts of being a father and having this sort of bond with Chelsea keeps him in the mix a little bit. But you could see the pain on his face. He did not want to be there. He was holding his eyes closed, you know, he was claiming tired, but I don't think so. I don't buy it. I think he was just overwhelmed with "I don't want to be here" ism.
Well, speaking of baby daddies that doesn't like to help or even talk or anything.
Yes,
Corey. Let's talk about Corey and Leah.
Okay,
I saw a lot going on with them this episode. You know, Corey just was very into himself and not talking a lot. Didn't want to talk about anything that had to do with the babies at all. I think he's over talking about babies.
Yes.
And he wants to have an adult conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. And I think he is, I mean, he's always been a non-talker, right? I mean, you know, to the point where when he does mumble something out, they've got subtitles. So
subtitles every time.
Right. So he is just not that dude that wants to come home and talk about his day. I mean, if you look, she's having both sides of the conversation. When they talk, she does both sides of it. She'll say her question and answer her question. And she'll say, I really think this is like this. It's, you know, I kind of feel like this, but then I feel like this. Yeah, that's how I feel. You know, she'll do both sides. And he's sitting there nodding and looking and, you know, they're just not connecting. I mean, we know they're not together later. They're divorced now and all that. But I'm just looking at it now thinking, yeah, you know what? There's nothing really between those two.
There's no connection.
There's not. I mean, they love their kids, and that's beautiful to see. It's so beautiful to see how much she loves her daughters. But you can just see that they are not. She's trying, but I don't think he doesn't have the capacity, or they just don't mix that well. But yeah,
I mean, it was kind of cool this episode that maybe Allie, she got to see the physical therapist, and then she suggested that they would wear braces to help her stand and walk. And they were excited about that great news. But then when they went to the geneticist, it wasn't the news that they wanted because they had to wait 4 weeks, which is the waiting game is the worst, especially when you're waiting for good or bad news and they are automatically thinking bad.
Yes.
And then they couldn't even say the disease that the poor child was getting, so that had to be a shock. They had to Google it and just...
Yep.
Poor Leah, she takes it to heart really, really, really bad. So.
Yeah, especially because what she got to see when she Googled it was first the explanation of the campomelic dysplasia, because I wrote it down. I saw it on on their Google search. The explanation of it was horrible enough, and then it showed images of victims of that disorder, which I'm sure I didn't go look it up because, to be honest, the thought of that little baby having, you know, short legs and short arms and not properly developed skeleton was just – I was feeling so bad for everybody involved and scared too. And so I haven't looked it up, but the pictures is what really got to her, and she had to, you know, close the window and then get up and go back to the table. They have been going through all this, right? Ups and downs. Previously, they got good news. Okay. The optic nerve, cause they thought it was just her eye. The optic nerve is underdeveloped, but the other one is healthy and there's nothing wrong with her brain. Good news. But we want to refer you to a geneticist. And then she said the geneticist, Leah did, said that the geneticist seemed much more concerned than she thought she would be. And so they said, we'll take blood and get back to you in 4 weeks. Now, why did the blood test take 4 weeks? I mean, is there any blood test take 4 weeks, or do we just assume that they're backlogged or something like that?
Good question. Probably backlogged. We'll go with that.
Okay, because, I mean, I don't know if, you know, testing blood for genetic disorders is, you know, more difficult than other stuff, but 4 weeks seemed like a long time.
And then the 4 weeks seems pretty long for them, but when she finally, you know, then later on they show in the episode that baby Allie does end up standing, but what was alarming to me is that she's standing on her heels and her feet are like completely almost at her shin.
Yeah.
That's a skeletal thing that has to be going on there.
It is.
But hopefully the braces will definitely fix that. So we'll have to just kind of wait and see on that one.
Yeah, there was a couple of sort of themes I saw with regard to, you know, them dealing with their family, talking about Allie. And again, we're talking only about Allie, right? Aaliyah, because she's healthy, just gets no attention. Attention. We never talk about Aaliyah. She gets her name flashed up on the screen. So I wonder how that kind of affects families and the development of the kids. I mean, now you've got twins. So it's going to be really clear to the twins that, okay, this one's getting more attention because she's different than me. Because it's not like one's older and one's younger and – you know, a boy and a girl or or whatever, different daddies or whatever. No, she's more attention just because she is afflicted. But anyway, so we're talking about Allie all this time. And the theme that I saw was there was really a good, healthy sort of attitude towards whatever she's got. It doesn't change who she is. Doesn't change the fact that we love her. If she needs braces, she's going to be our daughter with braces on her feet. If she needs glasses, she's going to be our cute daughter with glasses on her face. I, you know, as difficult as it is, I was just really glad to see the family was so supportive. I was really impressed with what the dad had to say, Corey's dad, and then Leah's mom, and then telling her, you know, little stories about, hey, you know what? I had to do the same thing. I'm giving Cheetos on the table to make her stand up and reach for them, and I had to do the same thing for you when you were little. So I really liked the fact that there was no shame. Whatever she needs, she needs, and she's still our daughter, and the support, the really good, healthy support they got from the family was good.
Before we move on, I see that Southern Siren actually tweeted after Buzz talking about Leah, since we're on her. Hopefully she's not pregnant with another child again.
Sure
we'll get into it.
I'm
sure we'll get into it a little later. So we see that you're tweeting, and we love that you're tweeting, and we'll talk about it, because it might not be just one child. She might be having... we'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah, I've got the news and gossip too, but please, Star, of course, add whatever it is that you know too. But I've got something here for it when we get to news and gossip.
Okay. All right, we'll move on.
Okay, moving on. So now let's go ahead and talk about Kaylin, and then we'll save Janelle for last. So Kaylin, this one is about the period of time of Isaac's birthday, right?
Yeah, and baby Isaac. He's so cute. This big old head.
Yep. And she goes to Joe and says, you know, can I get him this weekend so I can, you know, on Saturday so I can give him a birthday party? And Joe objects to her having him the whole day. Says, you know what, I'll give him to you for a few hours, but I only get him a couple days, so I need my time. Which is, I think, a very, very valid position for Joe to take, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, in a very grown-up way to even speak about it. They spoke like grown-ups to each other. There wasn't a big argument.
Yep. Which
it was a yes or no question, and she got half day. So she has to be thankful for that.
Yeah, exactly. She was thankful for it. And one of the things we love about Kaylin is that she really sort of shows a lot of maturity in a lot of things she does. I mean, you know, she's the most mature one out of all of them, obviously. But you're right. In their communication, you know what? It's tough to get a no and say, okay, that's, you know, it's your prerogative, but, you know, if you don't want to get the no. And then for her to do it and not make a big deal and just go on out, that's actually really mature, pretty healthy. It's a good way to take it. So they have the party, right? And there's her cousins, which I was very curious to see – to know how old those cousins were, who had babies that were just, what, a little bit older than Isaac?
Yes.
How old do you think those cousins were?
They were way older than her. They were in their 20s, 30s. They were older.
Okay. So
I'm guessing. This is my guess.
Right. So now you've got these cousins that, you know, these are older and they probably did things a little differently, right? Because their babies are close age, but they did it sort of at a better age. Yeah, better time in their life. And so here they are, and they completely, now I haven't seen them before, you know, before this episode, but they look like they are really good support for her. Like, they're ready to – they've got her back. They can't wait for this so-called boyfriend to come in so they can hit him with the 20 questions. And she's like – you know, and she knows it. Kaylin knows it. She's like, are you guys going to grill the dude? And they're like, yes, we are. Of course we are. In front of you, you know. So, anyway, they have the birthday party. But when she goes to pick up Isaac, what does she notice when she goes to pick him up?
Joe's not there.
That Joe's not there. The whole reason that he wouldn't let her is because he said he wanted to have his son and spend time with him. Now, she said he was in the studio. Did you catch that? Did you remember that she said that?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That was when they were returning the kids.
That was the returning one?
Honestly, there was a little clip of Joe changing baby Isaac's diaper in the morning. So, you know, Joe was there, and he did the dad thing. He changed the diaper, got the baby ready for the day. And then,
it's okay that
you need to step out, especially if the baby's going to be gone all day. So it's fine. Yes, I understand it. But if he's gone like that all the time, then the consistency needs to be there. He needs to be there with baby Isaac.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a little crazy when they returned baby Isaac home. We were fast-forwarding a little bit, and he still wasn't there. So... That is a big concern for me if I was a mother.
But what's the when they said he's in the studio? Do we know what he does? Is he a some kind of performer? Does he is he a technician in a studio? Do we know?
He's probably trying to be a rapper, but I will definitely look that up.
Okay, well, the reason why I'm curious is because it was a Saturday, right? And it was a Saturday at noon. So
he's a rapper. He's debuting a rap video.
Is that right?
Ooh, good
Gotta
to
be
know.
In the studio okay. on Saturday. Okay. All right. Joe the Rapper. What does he have a name other than Joe, or is he Joe the Rapper?
I don't know, but he definitely has a video. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit in, a little later when it comes to news and gossip.
Okay, okay.
I'll save that for then.
Okay, bring that in. So they have the party. Party goes off well. The boyfriend comes in and – you know, we didn't see much. Probably nothing much happened. He met him. You know, he's a pretty quiet dude anyway.
Well, Joe's a good guy. There's not much that you can do when it comes to grilling him. You know, he's honest. He's a kid. He didn't have the baby, but he supports her. You know?
Right. No. He's not. What's his name? His name is not Joe. His name is...
I'm sorry.
Jordan.
His name is Jordan.
Yeah, and Jordan bought the baby little Air Jordan sneakers, which that was cool. That, you know, it's kind of weird that that he has the matching ones. Like, okay, it's your girlfriend's
son.
No,
it's cute. But... I like it.
Let the shoes match the daddy. Don't let him match the boyfriend, but whatever. That's just, you know.
Let's fast forward to... Okay, go ahead.
A scary thing happens because on one of the rides back from Joe's house with Isaac, she crashes her car. Totaled it.
Yeah. She totaled her car, which my question is, does she not have insurance? Or if you're in fault, you don't get the insurance claim for the car? Because what is the deal with only her getting $350 for that car?
Right. Well, and which obviously didn't come from the insurance company. It came from the scrapyard that came and picked up her vehicle. But yes, in a situation – so I don't know if every single state requires liability, but of course California does. We know that. But if a state requires liability – so in California, you could have insurance coverage that covers only the damage you do to another vehicle, and it doesn't cover your vehicle at all. So that's very easy to be the case. If you own your car outright, you don't – the bank, there's no lien on it. No, you're not making payments to anybody. Then you're not obligated to protect your own vehicle if you don't want to. So
got it. So that's probably what – because she owned that car. She
right.
She wasn't making payments.
Right. And that – yeah. And if she would – If she didn't own it, she wouldn't have been able to sell it to a salvage yard because the insurance company would have taken that heap back. They don't let anything go if they own it. So
it was just sad. You know, she only got $350 for the car.
Yep.
It sat in the junkyard. Did she have to pay for that too on top of the $350? Probably. And you know, it was just it kind of worked out that she had a friend that worked for you and her dad worked for you, car salesman. But she got into a new car, a two-door car, which was – I was proud of her. I was stressed for her.
I was so stressed for her, too.
Concerned.
I mean, remember when she was sitting there calling, and on the third call or about the third call when she got the news that, God, you know, I'll give you $200, I'll give you $100 for it, whatever, she just broke down and was crying. And she's one that stays strong through all this stuff a lot of the times. And to see her break down like that, yeah, it was stressful. I'm like, you know what? Wow, here is a real world example of an extremely difficult situation that is probably more common than we think. But, you know, it's not like she was starving or whatever, but, you know, she was in a situation where she wanted to help herself and she couldn't. She needed something that she couldn't fix on her own. You know, she was dependent on these other agencies to give her the money. But, there was the whole thing with the towing and the storage fees, and that was going to offset the $400 that one place was – or, no, I'm sorry, the $200 that one place was going to offer. So I didn't really understand because, you know, in the beginning she was thinking, okay, I've got to pay $140 for the tow that already happened, and I got to pay $40 a day for the car to be just sitting where it is. And so I thought that the $350, part of that $350 was going to have to go to that, but she gave the whole $350 to as a down payment for the other thing.
And now she's going to have payments on her two-door car, which looks so difficult. Why would she choose a two-door car when you have a baby, but she'll realize how annoying that is.
Yeah.
Riding the seat, trying to get the baby in and out, but you know, at least she had something to get her to and from. So
yeah,
I'm really happy about that.
Yep.
And I'm glad Jordan was there to help her.
Yep. He originally the dad or the friend dad who owned the car lot originally offered her a 4-door. We didn't hear the price of that, so I'm guessing that the price, because this car was like $2,200 and change out the door. So, you know, that might have been the deciding factor was the price. Who knows? I don't know why she, you know, I'm with you though. 2-door, putting that baby in and out, it's going to get old real fast.
Yeah. Well, I know we're running low on time, so we need to hop on over to Janelle.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let's finish one thing with Kaylin, and that is that she did a very mature thing. Although I think she should have talked to Joe first. I think she should have
I'm skipping the best part. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. Best part. And by the way, if we go over, don't worry. Fill in. We'll let us go over on time. And we don't have what's it called? A real world coming in after us. And unless you got to go star, which if you have to go, that's fine. You know, you got to go, you got to go. But anyway, we're not, so we're good on time. So, she files for child support. First, she talks to her friend and her boyfriend about if she should do it. They support her. They say, yeah, you should. By the way, I think she should get child support. 100% in favor of that. Although I think she should have tried to talk to him about it first. But then again, after hearing his reaction, she probably knew what he was going to be, how he was going to be about it, and that it wasn't going to, you know, amount to anything. So she may have just...
Kaylin made a great choice by talking to her friend, you know, but she did go about it the wrong way, I would have to say. She definitely should have maybe spoken to him first.
Yeah, just giving him an opportunity to say, oh, okay, you know what, let's go ahead and put it in the calculator. There's a calculator called the Disomaster that will take your... the amount of time that the baby is with each parent, the amount of money they make, and it calculates the court standard for the amount of the child support. And so if they could have done that and agreed, it'd been much better to keep it out of the courts. But yeah, so at least give him a chance, but I don't think he would have agreed at all.
I agree. And, you know, he made a jab as like, if you can't take care of yourself, and then maybe you shouldn't have moved out of here. I don't know where he was going with that comment. But when it comes down to it, like, she is taking care of her and the baby. And diapers are expensive, and I'm sure he's going in and out of, like, 12 diapers a day. So maybe even if he was giving her food and she worried about diapers, or there could have been a way to work it out without the court, but I think it is safe to say that the court would be the best way for them.
Right. I mean, there are some situations where see, with the court paperwork, you at least have a recourse to go and get money. Because if he were to stop paying, like say they had an agreement and, you know, just said, okay, I'll give you whatever. I'll give you $300-$400 a month. And then he's doing it. And then one day they get in a fight and he says, well, then if you're not going to do this, I'm not going to pay. If you don't have court documents on record, you can't go back and get that money. You can then take them to court, but you can only get child support in arrears starting from when you filed the paperwork. So it's a way, it is a good way to protect herself if he decides to not pay or stop paying. But I wanted to say that he really, really said something that is wrong. He didn't say if you can't afford to support yourself, you can't take care of a child, then you shouldn't have moved out. He said, then if you can't do it, then I should just have my son because I can. And that's not the correct – that's not how the court looks at it, and it's not – I don't agree with that at all. The baby doesn't go with who's got the most money.
You want to buzz.
The baby should be with each parent's as close to – equal time as possible, and then what you avoid is, or what the courts try to do is, they try to balance the amount of support, that the amount of money that's available to the child in each household. So they almost, and if spousal support's involved, it's even worse. But they almost take half of the money. They'll take a big chunk of the money so that you don't have one person living in a mansion with the baby and all the toys that the baby could ever want, and another person living in a shack that's cold and no toys. Right, because then a child is going to gravitate and want to be where things are nicer, and then they've got this weird imbalance in their you know, their upbringing too. But so I don't think it was fair what he said. It didn't have his child's best interest in mind because that's the child's mother. And so you can't just love a child and then tell them, oh, but I hate your mama. You know, it just doesn't work. The child is going to grow up and then eventually realize that. So, So as far as Caitlin goes, that was the end of her thing. It ended on the child support issue.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to wait and see where that goes.
Okay, so now Janelle.
What's gonna Janelle? She's a hot mess.
Oh man, she was a wreck. More of a wreck than I have ever seen her. She was a wreck this episode.
Yeah, I mean, it opened up with her getting a text message from Kiefer saying that he was released from jail and his cousin set bail for him.
Yeah.
And her face lit up. She was ecstatic. And the first thing she was doing was ready to do was go see him.
Yep.
She did a grown up thing by saying, Mom, this is what's going on. I want to go see Kiefer. He's out of jail. Mom was a hot mess and was like, why do y'all want to go see him?
Right. But to be fair, the mom, I was surprised. Her response was sort of, you know, different than what we would normally expect, right? It was almost
very true.
Yeah, it was almost like she was like, okay, well, you know what? I'm not going to react. I'm not going to make a big deal about this. You go and you see him, but, you know, be smart about it. Be smart about it. This isn't your first run with this guy. And so let's just see what happens. And
right.
I was like, okay, that was actually some support. And the mom was by no means saying, hey, go, you know, be happy with Kiefer. She was just telling her, she realized that the daughter really wanted this. She's like, okay, if you're going to do it, be smart about it. And, you know, so.
She was smart about it. They last they met up, they were in some kind of diner of some sort.
Yep.
Eating nothing or drinking anything.
Yep.
Because they're broke.
Right.
But, you know, they had like a real conversation. He made up a great point. I guess he was in there thinking that they were both raised to scream. To talk about issues instead of talking about them. So I was really like, wow, Kiefer learned something in jail. He's running around. He wants to make good decisions with his girlfriend and be able to talk things out.
But didn't he, in the beginning of that conversation, didn't he do his little not take responsibility for the violence that occurred again? Didn't he say something?
Yeah.
You know, that I'm just like, okay, dude, you're a guy. That's a girl. She's like half your size. If you put your hands on her at all, then you're in the wrong. You know, you know that's it. And so I've, you know, the whole time they've had a chance to talk about it, he's really like sort of shirked the responsibility or the reality of what took place. I mean, unless it was something, I don't know, unless it was totally not anything violent at all, but it seems clear that he put his hands on her and that something went down.
Yeah. I mean, she brushed it off, but they were having a grown-up conversation, so I have to applaud them for one thing, because most of the time it's just a hot mess and I have nothing nice to say. So.
Yep, they did, and they were clearly, they love each other. They kissed, I love you too. And I'm like, man, this is going to be a tough one because...
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
At that point, I was stressed because I was thinking... Okay, I mean, I guess. And then next thing you know, he's at the house with the baby. The mom, the grandma is like, yeah, Kiefer could come over and play with Jace, and you guys can have a good time here. And it was going okay for a while.
Yeah, I mean, we got another tweet from Southern Siren, and she said, I can't believe Janelle let that trash Kiefer anywhere near Jace. And I completely agree with her. You know, when it comes down to it, you don't want that kind of a role model for your son at all.
No.
Even if he's playing with him and having fun and they're taking cute pictures, it's just, no, not the best role model. You do not want that around your child.
Yeah, well,
but
yeah.
She doesn't make the best choices.
No, she really, at this point, when Janelle experiences, and we see it a couple times in this episode, experiences, you know, a certain type of emotion or certain level of emotion, all other decision-making skills go out the window. The emotion is in charge of her decisions. I mean, she just was so miserable while Kiefer was in jail, And she just built that up until he finally came out. And then she's like, I love you. I want to be with you. I don't care about the past. I just want to not fight and be happy and everything. You can come to my house. You can play with my kid. You can do whatever you want to do. And let's be happy. And so then just, I guess, one random day, she gets a text. Now, she texts from this ex-boyfriend that she was talking to and hung out with one day while he was in jail?
Yes.
And was it this period, this stint in jail? Because he was in jail before, I think. But this time?
Do you know? They weren't clear about it, you know? They weren't clear, but I'm going to say it's this time just to keep it relevant and recent. But I was like, why is she... if I saw a text, I would just ignore it, especially if it was someone that I shouldn't be texting in front of someone else.
Yeah,
and I would
get
back to them later.
I was really thinking the same thing. I'm thinking, okay, why is this text all in Kiefer's face? Why is he all aware of this text? Why is this? Is this dude, did it really? Was it really a coincidence that the dude texted at that moment while they're hanging out? I mean, or are they? Or have they been together just 24/7, and so then anytime the dude texts? I mean, and how long has it been since she communicated with this ex guy last? I had a lot of questions, but I'm with you. Why is he in a situation where he's looking at the phone and saying, "Can I see that?"
And and she was smirking while texting and even responding back, and it was just a little tacky. And she started, this was her starting problem.
Yes.
She claims it's all him, but it's both of them, and that was definitely on her fault.
Okay, so then my question to you is, why would she do that? What is her – did she –
She wanted him to be jealous. She wanted her to be loved and missed and all that. I really don't think that that's who she wants. I think it is Kiefer. And she can see later in the episode, she's like completely devastated that he doesn't answer her phone call.
Yeah.
She's running after cars, crying like a hot mess. She won't even get out of bed to watch Jace after she cries every episode for her mom to let her watch Jace. I mean, if a guy can make you not watch your own child, then really you must be madly in love with him.
Well,
even if he's a hot mess.
Oh, man, I can't believe that you said that if he can do that, he's madly in love. See, I don't think so. I think that that's just a situation where she is young and she's experiencing and feeling feelings that she hasn't before. Okay, like she, you know, she's never felt that because when she was laying in the bed, that was like clinical depression. She's depressed. Where she's saying, leave me alone to her mom. Her mom is saying, I need you to watch your own child for 10 minutes so I can go pay a bill before they cut off some stuff. And so, you know, she wasn't hearing nothing. All she wanted was to be left alone. Again, she experiences a certain feeling or whatever, and that feeling is completely in charge. And she just lets that feeling be in charge of her decisions, doesn't hear anything else. She doesn't want him out of her life, so he's walking out the door. She doesn't think about anything to the point where she's running after the car, putting her hand in a door that's closing. Children don't even do that. So, you know, and then her hand is hurt, and she's yelling, telling him, did you see him leaning away? Like, he said, get away from me.
He was a little scared. He was like, oh, no, she
did. Scared. This woman is crazy. She's been ready to hurt me. And She was like, why won't you talk to me? He said, what for? Leave me alone. Go away. And I mean, it's not funny, but it was funny that Kiefer, the big dude.
It was funny.
Yeah, big dude that Kiefer is, was like, you know, he was leaning back. But she said, the reason why I want you to talk to me is because I love you. Again, a wreck, as you say, a hot mess. And so what happened? He got out of the car and went and talked to her anyway. I don't even remember.
He got out of the car and he was like, pull up to her driveway.
Yeah.
Let me just talk to her. And she's like, well, do you really not want to be with me? Kiefer responds that, you know, I don't want to be with you right now. I don't like that you were doing what you were doing.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, why?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, it's over. And she's like, okay. And she heads back towards her car, which I have to say,
oh,
she has the same exact car as me.
Okay.
She got a new car that episode too.
Yeah, the Jetta.
Yeah, but and then he heads off with his friend or cousin or whoever came and picked him up. So.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why I think she went to her car, and but they would be able to show this on her on the show. I don't think they would. But remember, she had been stressed out and laying in her bed and saying, and she said, "I really want to smoke." And if I remember right, the car is her place where she would go to do it. So my thought is that if she didn't actually smoke, that was like a struggle for her, where that she went to that place where she know that she could go get high, smoke, whatever. And, as a response or a way to cope with the feeling she was going through right there. That's what it was in my mind when she went to the car.
Yeah, we completely skipped over the fact that they had court, and they were supposed to be showing up into court because they had three things up against them. Can't think of the word.
Three charges.
But when they showed up to court for court day, court is canceled, I'm guessing, because of bad weather. It looked like it was snowing and things like that.
Yeah.
But, they were very aware that they were really excited that court was canceled because that kind of gave them a chance to lay off the drugs a little bit and maybe be sober by the time court really does come into session.
Exactly.
So it would really be sad if she jeopardized herself and got into her cute little Jetta and, smoked pot. But we don't know that.
We don't know. That's just because the mom wasn't home when they were having that fight. And so my thought was, why didn't she run back into her house? Who knows, but maybe she was thinking she would follow the car again, even after she said, okay. I don't know, but that was my thought, was why she went into the car. She was looking at 240 days of prison time, but because she was a first offender, no convictions or whatever, the lawyer said probably, you'll do community service, but Kiefer is not a first timer. And, his situation looked much more dire. They were glad that they get to try to stay drug-free for the 2 months that they could do the drug test. So that was it. I think, Phil, we're ready to move into news and gossip or commercial first, I think, is what we're going to do.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about? AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, I'm going to go, and you might have something to add on to this, Star, but I'm going to go read what I have from, let's see, the first one is going to be from Daily Mail. Okay, so apparently Leah, who is engaged to a new guy, and I have a picture of him here. I don't even know. Oh, Jeremy Calvert is his name. Can I show the picture, Phil?
Yeah, there you go. Yep, there you go.
Okay, so there's a picture of Leah and Jeremy Calvert. Mm-hmm. Dude,
he doesn't seem too interested.
Nah, he looks like he's too cool for the camera. But I don't know. I don't remember. I guess he's about the same height as Corey. And there he is, Jeremy Calvert. What are you gonna do? Okay, so she found out last week. An insider told this magazine that she was pregnant. She thinks the babies will help her get her own spinoff show. So apparently the magazine article is basically claiming that she wants to be the next Kate Gosselin and apparently guests have more and more babies. Now, the first articles didn't realize just that she was pregnant. But this other one from Mail Online says, Teen Mom 2's Leah Messer is pregnant with twins for the second time. It has been claimed. The 19-year-old, who already has two twin girls with ex-husband Corey Sims, made the discovery last week, according to In Touch magazine.
Yeah, I mean, the couple supposedly got engaged over the holiday season. She was reported to be pregnant. Now it's coming out that she may be pregnant with two kids. I don't think it's actually completely confirmed, but if she's already has twins, and I don't know if she has twins in her family, she might, her body might be able to just produce twins over and over and over again.
Wow.
It's kind of shocking. But, I mean, the whole Kate Coughlin twist, that definitely has to be a twist from tabloids. I don't see her saying that or thinking that, but maybe she would love to have her own show, but I don't see her on this show being like, I want the fame. So,
yeah, I don't know.
It's a little interesting.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, the other thing I heard, and Mari, even though she was sick, she was able to tell us this piece, that Janelle was arrested yesterday. Did you hear this?
No, I did not.
Okay. Okay, so Phil, I'm hoping that you did your job.
All right, so I have Janelle Evans, star of Teen Mom 2, arrested for threatening, harassing former roommate. The reality star is currently on probation for a 2011 street fight with another woman. Here we go. The Teen Mom 2 star, 20 years of age, was arrested Tuesday morning in Brunswick County, North Carolina, for allegedly communicating threats and making harassing phone calls. Harassing phone calls to her ex-roommate Hannah Inman. According to E! News, Evans posted a $1,000 bond and was released. The MTV reality star later took to her Facebook page to address her latest brush with the law. She says, "Yes, I was arrested again. It's okay. Hannah's just calling her own bluffs," Evans wrote. "How can I harass you with phone calls when you clearly don't own a cell phone? There's a letter missing. Whatever. This argument weeks ago, haven't been paying attention to you, but you have the balls to tell your little fans I'm a effing kill that biatch. Who's threatening who here?"
Oh my god.
By the way, she misspelled who's with hows. noted with the S-I.
The sick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Evans went on to say she has been in and out of the hospital for weeks to treat a number of ailments, including tonsillitis. As she left her house on Tuesday to go back to the hospital, police officer arrested Evans. And Evans said, "I got down to my knees and poured out tears. I was so upset I had to go to jail, then go to the hospital." And his attorney, Dustin Sullivan, told Starcasm.net that his client was arrested several days after she had pressed cyber-stalking charges against Evans' friend, James Duffy. Sullivan stated the charges against Evans are completely absurd and something in nature.
But she actually got arrested for it. So there must have been some evidence presented to the police. So I don't see how it's completely how it could be completely false. But wow, Janelle, God, so she's like a thug. She's a thug that and she doesn't fully present herself on camera, right, Star? Because
by the way, I have a picture up for those of you who want to see. I don't know if this is the jail shot, but Ed can't see it. I can see it, and fans can see it.
Okay,
so there you go.
I can see it.
I mean, Star, what is your take on this behavior from Janelle?
I mean, I saw the fight where it was on YouTube and she was fighting this girl and now she's on probation for it. Over time and time again, she does drugs, she smokes pot, she keeps the wrong type of people around her. She's just kind of going nowhere fast, and so it kind of makes sense that, you know, even if she probably was threatening this girl, or maybe not, who knows, but it is in her character to continue to threaten someone because she doesn't stop, you know?
She doesn't stop and take
a step back at her action.
She looks guilty in this photo. I mean, she's smiling. Ed, again, you can't see it. For those listening, you guys can't see it either, but it's on nydailynews.com, and she has a big old smile on.
He says she looks guilty.
This looks doctored. This is definitely not a mugshot.
You are wrong for that.
I don't know. That
looks
doctored to me.
Okay.
Like an old picture of her smiling, you know what I mean?
Okay, I'm going to need some creepy music for the predictions, please.
Oh, wait, we have one more thing.
My bad.
And now,
No, go ahead.
No, we want your news that
I'll
you were,
stop it.
You tabled.
Ed, see, this is what happens when you let Ed lead.
Yeah, I jumped the gun.
So Joe has released a video. It's on, what is it on? It's on TopEater.com. So you guys have to definitely check it out. He's rapping in this video. It was released back in April 27th, so he's definitely a rapper of some sort.
Wow, and that's why he's in the studio.
Yeah, that's why he's in the studio.
I guess
the video.
I guess Isaac is not allowed in the studio because otherwise, pick him up from the studio.
Gosh. All right, on to predictions because I've got to go.
Okay.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, quickly. I'm just gonna do the predictions that matter. I saw Janelle and Kiefer on the coming up on the next Teen Mom. Sitting on a stoop, and Kiefer saying, I try to leave you, but I can't. I love you. Will you forgive me and take me back?
They'll be on and off forever, I would have to say.
Oh, man. So she's not going to say no, huh?
No, she's not going to say no. Of course not.
Oh, well. That's the only one that I wanted to talk about. Do you want to say anything about the other? You got any other predictions?
No, what's going to happen? More stuff with the baby, with Allie. Joe and them talk about money issues.
Yes.
So we'll just have to wait and see how everything goes next week, but I'm very excited.
Yeah, it looks like there's some good stuff to come. I mean, you know, I guess with Kiefer, when we thought he was gone, I guess the ratings would have gone down after that because there'd been less drama with Janelle.
Crazy.
But anyway, thank you everybody for listening and watching. Thank you, Star, for calling in and appreciating you staying late. So we're about to do our last AfterBuzz little thing here.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.